Blog Talk Radio.
John's being an asshole. So I'm going to start with the intro. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. is planning things that have not been done in the past involving the potential Russian invasion of the Ukraine. His comments follow days of diplomatic talks and a deadlock on resolving the crisis brewing along the Ukrainian border. Russia has placed 100,000 troops lined up next to the Ukraine with tanks and artillery. While it remains unclear whether Russia will invade the Ukraine, experts such as retired Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman are not confident that Russia and Putin will hold off. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most likely that an invasion will happen, Vindman gives it an 8. The most likely scenario in my mind is a major military offensive in the Ukraine, says Vindman, a former director of European Affairs at the United States National Security Council. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I see. So I'm going to play part of an interview, and then I haven't had time to research Kazakhstan. I just know that 2,500 troops are sent there regarding a skirmish. So bear with me.
Ukraine. Ukraine border. Some 100,000 Russian troops are lined up there. An army of diplomats has been frantically trying to find an off-ramp, some way to de-escalate and avert war. Talks have played out this week in Geneva, then Brussels, and today Vienna. But today the Secretary General of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, told NPR there is, quote, a real danger for renewed armed conflict in Europe.
They said that if we don't do exactly as they demand, there will be what they call military technical consequences for us.
So where do things go from here? A question I want to put to America's top diplomat. Secretary of State Antony Blinken joins us from the State Department. Secretary, welcome. Good to speak again.
It's great to be with you, Mary Louise.
So the readouts are pretty bleak. We just heard there the view from NATO. On the Russian side, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov is calling the talks unsuccessful. Did Russia give any ground, or are you walking away from these talks with anything?
We've had an intense week of diplomacy, both directly between the United States and Russia at NATO, as you just said, also just today at the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. And we have shared with the Russians our deep concerns about the actions they're taking, not only with regard to Ukraine, but more broadly. They've shared their concerns. We've given each other, I think, a fair bit to consider. Our plan now is to go back and consult very closely with our allies and partners. I suspect that they will be doing the same thing in Moscow, and we're prepared to take this in either direction.
My question again, though, did Russia give any ground?
It wasn't a question of giving ground. We were not expecting breakthroughs. This is not a negotiation at this point. It really is putting their concerns on the table, putting our concerns on the table. We said a few things that the President's been very clear about throughout. One, in all of this, we are doing nothing about allies and partners in Europe without them. So we're in very close consultation, coordination with them. Second, we've said nothing will happen unless it's on the basis of reciprocity, by which I mean if we're going to do anything to address any legitimate Russian concerns, they have to do the same thing when it comes to our concerns. We've now had an ability to share directly those concerns. The third thing, though, is that if there's actually going to be progress, Mary Louise, it's not going to happen in an environment of escalation with a gun to Ukraine's head. So we're going to need to see some meaningful de-escalation if there is actually going to be concrete progress. Russia has to internalize all of this. We're doing the same thing. We'll consult closely now in the days ahead with our partners and see where the Russians are. But we have given them two paths.
If anything, though, the messaging out of Moscow today seems to be raising the stakes. A refusal today to rule out sending military assets to Cuba and Venezuela if the U.S. and our allies don't back down.
There is constantly a tremendous amount of bluster. We've also heard different things from the Russians, so it's a little unclear exactly where they are. We've heard other spokespersons talk
after
about
after a week of talks, it's unclear exactly where they are.
It is. We've heard some of them talk about positive nuances, but we want results. Well, actually, we feel exactly the same way. And if there are going to be results, it's going to be in the context of de-escalation. But look, we've been very clear with Russia throughout this. There are two paths, and they can decide which path to follow. There is a path of diplomacy and dialogue, and we're committed to that. We believe that it's the best way forward. It's the most responsible way forward to deal with differences and the situation in eastern Ukraine. On the other hand, if they choose confrontation, if they choose aggression, we're fully prepared for it. We've spent weeks, months now, working in very close coordination with allies and partners at the G7, the EU, NATO, to prepare for Russian aggression to make very clear that there'll be massive consequences if that's the path they pursue.
You've used that phrase a lot in recent days, massive consequences. Now that these talks are behind us, can you elaborate on what that looks like?
First of all, it's not just my phrase. It's a phrase that was used by the G7. These are the world's largest democratic economies, by the European Union, and by NATO, which means that it is the common position of all of us. Second, I'm not going to telegraph with specificity what we would do, except to say that when it comes to sanctions, when it comes to economic and financial measures, as well as measures to as necessary, reinforce Ukraine defensively, reinforce NATO defensively, we are planning and putting together things that we have not done in the past.
And
I think Russia is well aware of many of the things that we would do if they put us in a position where we have to do them.
Why not telegraph with specificity? Isn't the whole point of a warning to telegraph exactly what you're prepared to do?
again, I think the Russians know quite well many of the things that are being being discussed, being elaborated, being being put together. But the question now really goes to Moscow and what path they choose. We've made clear how we think this would most responsibly play out. We remain fully committed to that, but we're also fully prepared if they choose aggression.
I asked Alexander Vindman earlier this week, Alexander Vindman, the retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, former National Security Council, asked him where he rates the chances that Putin really will invade in these coming weeks. On a scale of 1 to 10, he put it at 8. Mm. How about you?
I'm not gonna rate it. Let me say this. One of the things that President Putin is very good at is keeping his options open. And I suspect that that is a part of what he's doing now, looking to see what may work, what won't. And it may well be that he's not fully decided on what he's going to do. We have, I think, an important responsibility to help shape his thinking and, again, make very clear from our perspective what the options are, what the consequences will be of the options that he could pursue. And when it comes to diplomacy and when it comes to dialogue, there are opportunities, I think, to address concerns that we all...
I'm going to cut out now from that conversation on National Public Radio. So I will pull Don in a minute. There's three things to ponder here. Earlier in the conversation, that was our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. He said that all of Europe, America, have stakes in this Ukrainian potential invasion by Russia. In other words, we're playing a direct hand in their decision-making. The second thing to consider is that he said Putin is flexible when push comes to shove, and he might make another decision which won't risk his country. And the third decision is that... We have Albert on the line. Good. The third decision that Putin has to make is that if he's really going to thumb his finger at the United States and give arms to Cuba and Venezuela, that's really trying to torch the Western Hemisphere. So with that, I'll bring Don in, who's been holding 10 minutes, and then Albert. Hi, Don. How's your evening going?
Hey, Jane. Hi, everyone. It's been busy. I've just gotten off my Reno Sparks NAACP meeting, monthly meeting, and then we had interviews for our Martin Luther King caravan and program that we're having this weekend. So it's been very busy.
What do you mean by interviews?
The TV stations. They interview us.
Okay. Good. I know you were going to start it on Sunday or Monday.
Well, Sunday and Monday. We have Sunday more or less spiritual services, and then and we pass out our MLK Celebration Committee awards, and then Monday is the caravan. Monday morning we have a caravan. This will be our 24th annual. And we go down Martin Luther King Highway that was built back in the 80s.
Good. With that, I'm going to pull in Albert. I will talk to you about it more later in the show. I'm going to pull in Albert because he rarely calls anymore. Hi,
sure.
Albert. How's your evening going?
Oh, no, months. I'm glad to hear from you guys, you know.
I'm glad. Are you out of? Did you have COVID, and are you done with that scare that you had physically?
Well, I didn't get tested for COVID this time. Hey, what's up, John? Yeah, I didn't get the test for this time. Like I did the other time, I got sick. I don't know. I got sick with the. With a lot of the symptoms of COVID and the flu twice.
Don, can you pull out of a busy area? Not you, Albert.
Yeah.
No, I'm on mute.
But
I'm on mute.
An interesting part. Okay. An interesting part that I was, I watched a documentary on Surviving R. Kelly, Season 1 and Part 2, which is called Season 1 for some reason. It's actually Season 2. So I watched Season 1 and Season 2 of Surviving R. Kelly, a documentary, which brings a lot of information that was not publicly known or put on the mainstream media, which is very interesting. Just a short sentence, just to put in a short sentence.
Yeah, he did get retribution, though, for his crimes.
Yeah, and just to put in a short sentence, for 30 years, R. Kelly has had sex with minors and, like, locked them up in their rooms and didn't allow them to use the bathroom or eat. Basically had sex slaves for 30 years, and he went to court twice on 2002 and 2009, and he got away scot-free until the, you know, the third time, and he still continues. So after the third time, this time he finally got prosecuted you know, with a high-profile, you know, big-time lawyers and whatnot. But, yeah, this time he went to jail, you know, after 30 years, and they finally got him.
Yeah, I think Don might know something about that. Do you, Don?
Heck no. No, I moved to Reno to get away from that kind of stuff because it was right there where I was more or less working at and playing at and everything else. That's why I left Los Angeles. That's why I left.
Well, I saw the highlights of the documentary, but I didn't watch it. But now that Albert brought that topic up, before we get into Russia, I want to talk about something similar. I don't know the finer details of R. Kelly. I have seen a couple of women on YouTube talk about what it was like to be around him and how he treated people. But it is kind of amazing that he got away with it that long. And I guess it was part of like a power brokering thing where he took advantage. So I was wanting to talk to you guys about something else before I get into Putin, Russia, and the Ukraine. There's a documentary on Netflix called American Meme, and it's about the fat Jew Kirill, a Russian immigrant who came here when he was 2, Paris Hilton, and this dark-haired girl from Pennsylvania who made it big on Vine. So basically it was about all the celebrities who've become self-made millionaires just because of their personality. And the fat Jew is somebody who's been, he was on Vine and then he switched to other social media platforms and he became a success. Kirill, which sometimes goes by Kirill Was Here, is about a 34-year-old Russian son of a Ukrainian family. And he started doing these things in bars where he dumped champagne down women's throat and they're half dressed. And it's kind of become like a cult thing. And he goes from city to city and he has like this organized event. But then he confessed in the show that he's miserable, he hates people, it's a shallow existence, but it's the only way he can make money. He started out as an artist. And who's that famous rapper that managed Eminem? Well, anyways, he started doing some artwork and portfolio stuff for one of the mainstream Skid Row productions or something like that. Well, anyways, the whole thing is about how Paris Hilton started the trend of being famous for famous and how now she has a $710 billion empire. She's made 25 perfumes. She's a DJ now in the Mideast and the U.S. She's sold clothing and purse lines. She's 40 now and she's married. But the fact of the matter is that it was just really a show about tragedy and fame and how some people just exploit themselves to become famous. Now, Paris Hilton wouldn't admit that. She said that up until a couple years ago, she couldn't miss any events and she had to be at every party, but now she sees her friends dropping out of the limelight and seeing what kind of life they have. And do you guys, I know Don isn't familiar with social media giants, but Albert, do you know who the fat Jew is or Kirill?
The fat Jew? No, I don't really watch that much.
One of the girls who was on Vine who did theater her whole life, once Vine, it was an extension of Twitter, and then they abruptly cut it off a couple years after my son was in high school, like around 2018. And right after they cut it off, Tommy Lee, who used to be married to Pamela Anderson, he knew one of the celebrities on Vine, and she was in her early 30s, and he ended up proposing to her. So she got a celebrity marriage out of the deal, but some of those people just got misery. Like, they made fame, but they didn't really know where their life went and why they're stressed out all the time. And like the fat Jew guy said, he always has to be one step ahead of everybody because he has to stay relelevant. So I just thought I'd throw that in there, but it just kind of goes to show how the media is twisted and how people can get followings pretty easily and things of that nature. But Suzette hasn't called in. We kind of went way off topic, and I know Albert's not really into Albert, let me just bring you abreast of what my first 10-minute speech was. It was Russia's they've already sent 2,500 troops to Kazakhstan, and now they have 100,000 troops plus artillery lined up on the Ukraine, which they're planning to most likely invade again. And the U.S. has done diplomatic talks with them, but this time our Secretary of State was talking about consequences involving Europe and how they have a stake in the matter. So I was just wondering what your guy, Don, you and Albert's opinion was on how we're supposed to handle Russia, and is it our business? Like, we don't ask them permission when we go into Iran or Iraq.
Well, anytime Russia's involved with supporting a country, you know, the United States government always supports the opposite. Russia and, you know, America has never been, you know, together. They never directly fight each other, but they always do proxy wars where they fund the opposite ends, where like where Russia was funding and supporting the Syrian government.
Totally. They were the main supplier of all the military, the arms and the weapons for the Syrian war.
Yeah, and America supported the opposite, right? The so-called freedom fighters or whatever, the terrorists, whatever. They just supported, didn't really care. They're always supporting one. Like, you know, and it's gone on for a long time. I mean, even in Afghanistan, when Russia invaded the Pakistan area, and America helped, came in and brought a lot of guns and supported, you know, those countries there, you know, and so it just made it really hard for Russia. And then Russia supported military. I mean, the Vietnam were a bunch of guns, which made it hard for the U.S. to come into the Vietnam really easy. So that was, you know, so it goes on and on, you know. And, of course, Russia and America can't fight each other because, you know, they got nuclear bombs and they can't. But they're always throwing their money and guns around to people that favor their position, that favor, you know, what they want, you know, basically, you know, for their own ambitions and their own I can't remember the word I'm looking for.
They're doing it for their own advantage.
Yeah, basically.
So Russia went toe to toe with Azerbaijan in the northern Iran. That's a kind of like a buffer country between Russia and Iran, even though they border each other. And then Russia has had a strong hand in places like Afghanistan and Tajikistan, and where my ex-boyfriend's from, they repopulated some areas to mix them up to have a more pure race. And Afghanistan, as we all know, they invaded from 79 to 89. But I think they pretty much stayed away from there when the U.S. was occupying Afghanistan. But it is kind of like it's in politics, foreign policy, it's called a bipolar system where there's two superpowers striving, you know, for the same, for multiple spheres of influence. And but they said after Russia fell in 89, our political science teacher told me that it's a unipolar system now, and the U.S. is the only superpower in the world. But that doesn't mean that we can control everything, because there's power like China. John's on the line too. There's power. There's different forms of clusters of power everywhere.
Yeah.
Including China has strong economic power and is infiltrating the international scene militarily. So,
the civilians and people of America are not controlling nothing. It's the government and the people and the secret people.
Well, that's one thing
government.
Suzette said last week when OTAP was on the air. She said that it's our leadership that's making these decisions. We're not definitely comrades in the support of that. But I want to make one statement. John's pulled in, but I want to make a statement that you guys could ponder in the next few minutes. One thing Hotep said, and he was pretty civil that night, he said that we are not global, we are tribal. And what I think he meant by that is that all conflict derives from our own indigenous rivalries and our perceptions on how we view the enemy or how we defend our own heritage and culture. And I thought that was a pretty profound statement, even though it seems simple, because even if he also described that there were two different globalists. There's the kind that think that we should all pool together and share each other's resources. And then he talked about the global elites like the Rothschilds, who, the Bilderbergers or whatever they're called, the elite group of people who make the ultimate
and
decisions
the
that we don't need.
Yeah, yeah.
So, John, you're on the
air. Yeah,
they're
very powerful people, yeah.
And hello, Jane.
After our petty fight, you're still at least present.
I'm here at the moment, yeah.
You guys should be married.
We're never going to get married.
Hey, John.
Unless he wears a sickle on his tux.
Y'all are always fighting.
Well, hello, Don. How are you?
I'm fine, Mr. Hoffman. That's what your name should be, Mr. Hoffman.
Say hi to Albert, John. He hasn't been on the air in months.
Hey, I'm sorry, John.
I know.
We
missed seeing you in for Christmas.
Yeah, Albert?
We invited
yeah.
him to meet us in Ontario, but he had COVID-like symptoms.
Oh.
Yeah, strong COVID-like symptoms.
That's just a cold, though. It's just a cold.
Well, I mean, I had the fever, the loss of taste, loss of smell, and very strong fever, by the way.
They call that cold COVID, John.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, did we need to shut down the whole planet for it, though?
Well, I also had chest pains.
So he
went
to
the they said that was one of the COVIDs that were giving people chest pains and was related to COVID. So I guess it's like it was the third version of the COVID, but I don't even know.
I had trouble breathing when I had COVID, but it was kind of, it snuck up on me. It wasn't obvious.
I had pneumonia 40 years ago, and that's the leading killer. It actually kills almost 1 million people every year before COVID. So I just think it's overhyped. I mean, it's dangerous, but it's overhyped.
Yeah, I had gonorrhea about when I was about 22.
Okay, shut down.
John,
we're not
going to
go into that.
I wanted to know, John. I don't think you were here to hear some interesting stuff that I looked at. But I wanted you to know about the Surviving R. Kelly documentary. A very interesting documentary. It's about a lot of women that R. Kelly basically molested. Underage women are for 30 years and got away with it.
And I would
Albert claims that some of the women were held against their will.
Oh, definitely. There was a lot of that. And you look at Rick James, right? He went through all that stuff. You look at Hollywood. You look at Weinstein. And the thing about Weinstein is people can go, well, he's an animal. You know, just look at Jennifer Lawrence. She's in 50 million pictures with him. Like, kissing and hugging and in my butt. And you look at Oprah. Oprah's all over, you know, big Bobby W.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like they all knew it. They all knew
it.
Yeah,
well, but the thing is that, like,
guess
like,
who one
like
of the
Jeffrey
women
Epstein
were who busted Weinstein? It
yeah.
was Courtney Love and Angelina Jolie.
Man, one interesting fact is Jeffrey Epstein was a billionaire, and he had sex with the minors, like, at his private island and whatnot. Like, he was a lot more powerful than R. Kelly. So R. Kelly was just a millionaire, but he was still able to have sex with minors for over 30 years, and imprisoned them in his mansion. The minors weren't even allowed to go to the bathroom or eat unless he gave them permission. They were basically prisoners. So he was having sex with minors for 30 years. So this just shows that, you know, even a millionaire can do that. You don't have to be a billionaire, right, to imprison and have sex with minors for many years, for 30 years.
Or you could just be Mormon and do it for free.
Or you could be like that guy in Cleveland who had those three women in his house 10 years, and one of them gave birth to his kid.
Right.
And they finally got out after many, many years.
It's always been big around the planet still. People think this is old stuff. And here's why. I'll make it real easy. Because of DNA, because of genetics. People say, well, you know, the Nazis went away, or this went away, or slavery went away. No, it's in the DNA. So bad people have children and good people too. We have good and evil in us, so some of us will choose evil, some will choose bad. So everything bad you've seen happen in the past, it will happen. You'll have to wipe out the whole human race to not have that happen, and that's called eugenics. So we'll just wipe out people and put our own little race in there.
Yeah, but anything, all these people, had help, right? Like Jeffrey Epstein had his employees that, you know, and also R. Kelly. He had his bodyguards that knew what was happening, right? His bodyguards, his staff manager, like they knew what was happening, and they helped him with it, yeah. And I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and it was simple. It was simple as the girls just going to his concert, and he's seeing like young 14-year-old girls or 13-year-old girls at his concert, and he sent his bodyguards to go, you know, go give her a number and you know, have her sent to his mansion, his party mansion, you know, invite these girls. And these, you know, the little girls didn't know anything, and they just came to his mansion to party with him, supposedly, and then all of a sudden end up fucking with him, you know, minors, right? And I think there should be a new rule, like at the concert, that minors should not be allowed to go at concerts without the adults, because a lot of these, singing actors, intend to have sex with their fans. And this goes for a lot of people, even Elvis Presley there, right? And a lot of rich other famous singers,
in the 70s, guys, women wanted to have sex with the band leaders.
Well, yeah, well, exactly.
Think how old Priscilla was when Elvis set eyes on her. Was she like 13 or 14? And going back to what's current, this is happening right now. It's happening right now, and no one is. With the Ghislaine Maxwell, okay, they slammed her 5 out of 6 counts, right? And the other
John?
Well, I think they still have to stress that out, because there's back and forth. They're going to appeal it. But here's the thing. You know what the judge did? Let's seal the records. And think about that. She trafficked or pimped women with Epstein for 30 years or 20 years or however long it was. And that means they had customers. They know the customers. They sealed it. Why? To protect them, to protect the names. This is what's so, I see, even beyond maddening. I can't even yell. I can't even get mad. I just have to go.
Because you're
enjoy.
Talking about the people who was involved in the bad behavior, right?
It's like Children of the World and Lucifer. Enjoy. Your meal is served. Prince Andrew, right? Well, they already just said, like, Prince Andrew wanted to have the case against him dropped because Virginia Guffrey lives in Australia, and so she's not an American citizen. So since it's an American lawsuit, he wanted it thrown out. And then the court said, no, you're a perp, and we're going to let it ride, which I'm surprised. But the point is, and then the royals are going to drop Prince Andrew. If he gets guilty, they're just going to go, okay, you're on your own. Point is that they want to seal the records. Why would you cover it up if they're the people who committed the crime against these children?
Yeah, and I can guarantee you at half of the concert, not all the concerts, but I can guarantee you at least half of the concerts, the lead singer, or just if it was just the singer by itself, like one of those, that the singer's having sex with his fans, And it's always guys having sex with the girls, young girls that come to see him. It's been like that for a long time, and it happens, I would say, at least half of the concerts.
Or in the case of Michael Jackson, it's with little children. What did Michael Jackson want to be? Peter Pan.
Are we going to talk about tabloid?
R. Kelly has sex with more minors than Michael Jackson and Jeffrey Epstein put together.
Maybe. Now, you know the Peter Pan means everything, like pansexual. That's Miley Cyrus, all these people say, I'm pansexual. They're attracted to everything. Michael Jackson wanted to be Peter Pan, who was in charge of the Lost Boys. So I don't know if R. Kelly had like 3,000.
We've already talked about this numerous times, you guys.
Oh, I know. We can leave it, Jane. We can leave it. We'll leave the icons alone.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
The show is actually about Russia and the Ukraine. And
You mean about the weakest president in the United States?
Yeah.
We were afraid that Trump was going to give the world to Putin, and now we're seeing that no, Biden is handing it over, Mr. Weak Man, the straw man, right? Because Russia was put in check by Trump. It's like, okay, they see it strong, man. We're backing up. With Afghanistan, they go, you know what? Take whatever you want. All we're going to do is talk. It's so sickening. Just go ahead, anyone who wants to touch that one.
Well, I did want to say one thing, that I played an interview with Antony, the Secretary of State, I forget his first name off the top of my head, but I mean his second name. But right now there's regional talks in Europe between the U.S., Europe, and Russia, and they're basically threatening Russia. You better not go in the Ukraine, or there's going to be consequences in that whole region.
And, what are we going to do? Nothing. We're going to do nothing. We're going to talk.
No, Europe was going to punish them economically, and then Russia threatened to sell arms to Cuba and Venezuela if we involve ourselves.
You know, everything that Joe Biden has said he was going to do, he hasn't done.
The thing that surprised me, though, I want to ask you is, so what if they invade the Ukraine? It's their... It's kind of like their regional territory, like us going into Puerto Rico. Like, why are we behaving like that? Like, just let them do it.
Power. Yeah, you know, they don't want to give an inch of power.
But the thing is, you guys are missing it. The main thing that Putin has for the Ukraine is the oil pipeline to Poland. That pipeline was reluctantly built, but hasn't been put on full status yet. So that's what this is all about. This is actually Putin committed, getting ready to commit suicide. Because Russia, you mentioned it earlier, Russia is now a third world country. They are irrelevant. Nothing Russia does affects the rest of the world, except for oil and some of the artwork that they've held on to or stolen. Otherwise,
well, guess what I heard by one of the top
Russia
leaders
has,
today?
They don't really
if
have
Russia
any power,
goes into the Ukraine, there might be combat in Europe once again after 60 to 70 years.
Well, we need a little war, but going back to that, who made them irrelevant? Reagan shut them down. They starved themselves out, right? And then we tried to build it up with the Bushes and the Clintons and with the Middle East thing. And then Trump shut them down. And who's reopening this? How come? Because they're shutting down our energy, right? So we have to all go solar. But we're not ready for solar. We're not ready for wind or to even get the resources to mine up what you need for the batteries. We don't have that. What are we doing? We'll give it to Russia so that pipeline goes to Europe. It's so easy. This is like so unrocket scientist. Can anyone put this together? Yeah, we're just going to, you know, create this monster, shut us down and shut our country down and force everyone to be slaves. I mean, we're following the UN orders now. We're just slaves.
I wanted to mention what one of the key players said.
That is so far a conspiracy theory. I can't even believe it.
Well, go for it. Well, what's conspiracy?
Well, wait, John, before you comment, can I say something, a quote?
No.
Okay, you go ahead then, and I'll go after you, because I'm diplomatic.
No,
proceed, John, enlighten us.
So, Don, you confronted John, so you go next.
No, I'm good. I was just kidding with you.
Okay, a senior official in the U.S. warned Thursday that the drumbeat of war is sounding loud following a week's worth of diplomacy between the West and Russia. And I just wanted to let you guys know that one of the people at the table was the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. That's called the OSCE. It was the third session that capped off a week of intensive meetings between the U.S., NATO, allies, and Russia. And they are making obvious threats if Russia doesn't de-escalate.
All they got to do is send Kamala Harris, and she'll whoop Putin's ass.
She won't do anything.
And then they promised that the Ukraine. They said the Ukraine can't ever join NATO.
She can't even go to the border for 1 minute and stop 200,000 people invading America. Mexicans who don't have weapons, they don't have money, they don't even speak the language. and she can't even stop that. Are you kidding me? She's the weakest, most full. You know, she's just full of crap. She hasn't done anything.
John,
yeah,
don't be a numbnut.
What?
Don't be a numbnut. John, don't be a numbnut. What?
Has she done? Tell
she
me
might
what
be doing something that you don't know.
What is? She's Puerto Rican, right?
Stop COVID, right?
She's Puerto Rican, right? Part Puerto Rican, right?
Yeah.
The people
she
are coming
born.
In.
She was born. Great accomplishment. She has darker skin. Great
so
accomplishment. So what?
She doesn't have a. That means she doesn't have a problem having people coming from south of the border. She doesn't have a problem
with
that.
Right.
You know, she had her family did it herself. So what the hell are you talking about, John? She's not here to stop immigration. That's not her job.
No, of course not. They want everyone to vote with no ID. You know that's the rule. They want to stop the filibuster.
Crying.
Anyone can vote and stuff the ballot.
Guys, who cares about her? She's not involved with this. Now the Polish.
She's one heartbeat away from it. What are you talking about? Joe Biden goes, ooh, she's the one calling the shots on this thing. But going to that point.
That'll be better for you,
John. They know their approval rating is 33%. They're just tanking. No one likes what they're doing, and they haven't stopped COVID because they're forcing people to lose their jobs to get a needle shoved into them that doesn't work. We already know it doesn't work because it doesn't stop the variant. And the point is that so the only way they can not get their ass handed to them is to change all the rules so that anyone can vote. You don't have to be a citizen. Just write your name in. Don't even check the address.
They're bullying the senators right now about some Voting Rights Act.
Well,
that's their
vote,
only hope. Go
my
ahead.
My vote in Nevada is worth about 100 times your vote because we have to change the Electoral College. It's real simple. We change the Electoral College, make one vote, one person. That solves everything.
So you can have just liberal, moderate. In fact, who even cares if you vote? They control the vote. You know that.
The biggest mobs are those assholes who storm the Capitol. They're right now being.
Are you kidding me?
Of sedition. they're being in the courts right now. They're going to have a record as long as you're, I don't even know. But the bottom line.
Right. The big sedition. What did they burn down?
The criminals.
They burn anything down?
John, why did you say your vote's three times worth as much as John's?
John, no, 100 times worth. My vote in my district, I've got, 28,000 people in my district or something like that. And
who are Democrats?
No, voters, damn it. I've got one out of 28,000, I believe, 20 or 32,000, something like that. And living in California, that's one out of 250,000 people.
Right.
So that's 100 times more effective I have on my vote than people in California in certain districts have for their votes.
Right. That way all of our Mexican votes don't wait.
You also have to think of the efficiency of the district and how they tabulate votes and if there's any hanky-panky.
That's called balance of power. That way little states have as much power as the big states because you don't want it to be New York and California controlling the whole country because
well, in some ways they don't, John, because places like Connecticut and Alabama, they don't have that many electoral votes.
Yeah. You need balance of power.
Okay, I just want to say make sure you include Albert because he hasn't been on the show for over 3 months. And secondly, I don't think Suzette's calling in at this point, but I'm going to hold my war cry. cry thoughts till the conclusion, because we've already got off topic so many times with the Russia and the Ukraine that I'm just going to save my thoughts for last.
Good.
Okay. Well, one thing, Don started to jump on the insurrection.
Yeah, but feel free to jump in, but go ahead, John.
Don wanted to jump on the insurrection thing, because what they want to do is totally shut down America, where you can no longer stand up, protest, or fight back. As if Don listened to the interview, they asked the Department of Justice regarding person with the FBI, were there federal agents involved? Sano Goleman. Were federal agents encouraging any activity the day of the insurrection? Cannot comment. Methods, you know, was it sources and methods or whatever? Could you please testify to whether any federal agents used force during the insurrection, contributing to the crowd acting out? He said, I cannot discuss that. You know why? Because the FBI helped set it up. The government was staging that. They're trying to create what happened. They had the guy's name, I think, is Ray Epps or FC or something like that.
That's just because he said, because he's a dumb white boy that said, I cannot answer, doesn't mean that the FBI was complicit in putting together this whole insurrection.
No, because they have testimony of people saying they have a guy on record, on video, all during the week. He's telling people, hey, you got to go in there. He's a federal agent. He's saying you got to go in there. You got to get into the building. You got to use force. Let's do it. Let's go. They have it on video. And you know what?
For some reason, the
Biden administration, DOJ, we just haven't gone to that yet. Well, why not? They're so hot and heavy. A year and a half. It took till 48 hours ago.
Why would all these white people be so dumb as to follow some jerk saying we got to go in there?
Why do all those BLM people burn down cities? Because you can incite a riot very easily.
It's the same thing, John.
As of 48 hours ago.
It's the same thing. John, it's the same damn thing. The people burning down those buildings were right-wing white pieces of shit.
White people. There were black people there.
No,
black lives matter. You know it.
The people in Seattle, they were people in Portland, they were people on the right. They wanted to incite. You know that.
Well,
I know a lot of
people are conservative. I can tell you, I've been to the rallies. Can tell you, if you were there with a MAGA or Trump stuff or conservative, I can tell you that the BLM, maybe you haven't been there. I've been there. And they will attack you. And they will throw their ice bottles at you. And they will swear at the military or the police, the SWAT unit. That was when SWAT rolled out at Beverly Hills. So, no, Don, you have to pull your head out of certain orifices when you talk. Like, if you're there, you're in Reno. You have no idea what's going on out here.
Oh, boy, you're wrong, because I'm not only in Reno, but I'm in Vegas, too. I do some of my things in those different places.
Well, were you there with Antifa or BLM? Were you marching with them when they start blowing shit up?
Not there, but I was here in Reno when they came. Yeah, bye.
I was in Santa Monica when they shut it all down, all those little...
Don did not participate in the riots. Albert, did you see any riots?
Well, the thing is, though, is that we tried to help during the George Floyd thing. We tried to help.
I'm in the southern part of Riverside County. It's pretty small over here. No riots over here.
You guys, no one in our group was in any active protest, John, including Don, me, or Albert.
When?
Well,
during the George Floyd BLM stuff.
The point is, I've been at events where people have shown up. I wasn't protesting, but I was serving food and hanging out with people who celebrate freedom. And I could tell you when violent, militant people in black showed up and started attacking people and police and trying to incite a riot, I'd seen it. And I can tell you, as of 48 hours ago, there was not one charge of insurrection for January 6th, if you can believe it. And then a congressman was testifying. He said, you know, we haven't had one charge of insurrection. And once you know,
a lot of people were charged, including eight Minnesotans.
Not with insurrection.
That's why my head is up.
Yes, they were. Eight Minnesotans were charged, and a couple of them had to spend 60 days in jail. It happened recently. And then they just hired, they just charged the head of some kind of. There was a white supremacist who was arrested today in a southern state.
I'll do a little more research, if I can tell you. No one's been convicted of of sedition or insurrection. I can tell you that. Because they did their first charge
yesterday. They haven't
been
convicted yet.
They made a big deal, like, oh, okay, we finally were charging people.
They haven't been convicted because their trials haven't come about yet. They're still in jail.
There has been people arrested and charged, John.
Well, I would do
but they haven't been convicted. But they haven't.
I heard an hour-long thing on NPR about eight Minnesotans who were charged.
Well, I can tell you there's a lot of stuff the last couple of days that started to blow up because Biden has a task force. How many domestic terrorist situations have we had since 9/11 compared to all
I think what we should do is go in a circle because Albert hasn't really had a chance to talk. And I'm feeling like this thing is going to get disjointed pretty fast.
That's because we're talking about other bullshit other than what we were supposed to be talking about, which was either Ukraine or something, some other stuff. We got on all of this other stuff because of me, and I mentioned that Kamala Harris could whoop Putin, and then all hell broke loose.
Oh, yeah, Kamala. Wow.
Yeah. But
okay, there was a leader arrested today in connection with the January 6th insurrection.
Right. It's one thing to be arrested. It's another thing to be charged with insurrection.
Well, eight Minnesotans were charged. The founder of the Oath Keeper.
John said Trump was going to be elected.
Nobody's fucking listening. There's eight
president.
Minnesotans that are already charged and served sentences.
Right.
I'm saying you could charge someone with trespass and with disorderly.
John said Trump was going to be president.
John, don't stop fanning the flames. Stuart Rhodes. This happened today in the news. Stuart Rhodes, founder of the Oath Keepers, he was arrested today.
Right.
With 10 other people on Thursday, and I guess it was today, the Justice Department unsealed seditious conspiracy charges against the leaders of a far-right group called the Oath Keepers and 10 other people on Thursday, allegedly they plotted to disrupt the electoral process on Capitol Hill and endangered Vice President Pence. Federal authorities arrested the Oath Keeper leader, Stuart Rhodes, in Texas on Thursday morning, which is today, and took Edward Vallejo into custody in Arizona. The other nine people had already been accused of some crimes related to the seizure that happened a year ago. The grand jury indictment in the District of Columbia is the most serious and sweeping case to emerge from the federal investigation.
The most serious,
Now, maybe that happened today, but I don't know where you were on January 6th, But a lot of radio stations were covering people who had been arrested and charged with certain crimes on that day, and some of them have already gone through the legal process, and some of them have not.
So were you concerned on January 6th they were going to take over America, wipe out the army, kill every member in the White House? Did they do that? Did they kill anyone?
I wasn't personally concerned.
They
I just thought there were a lot of people there, and it was more of a disruptive
event. They stood around and took pictures, right? They stood around and took pictures.
But I was so disturbed when
they
broke. Are you going to let me finish?
No.
I was disturbed that they broke windows, and they went into corridors.
Same. Everybody knows what went wrong. John is purporting a lie that everybody knows.
I'm done talking.
So no, Jane. John is right now pushing lies again. He said Trump was going
go ahead,
to be president.
Tell me what's the lie?
That Trump was going to be president now. You insisted Trump was going to be president in the election. You insisted that they were going to find out that the election was rigged. He was going to be president again.
Yeah.
And then you later said, you insisted. You said guaranteed, we bet on it, that Trump was going to be president again after all the...
I said definitely that Biden didn't win the vote. Definitely.
It doesn't matter. Now you're
and
doing
I thought,
it again.
And I thought they would expose
you're doing it again,
they
though.
Done their job.
You're doing it again.
You think Joe Biden won the vote.
Yeah, he won the vote by far. And if we had the Electoral College, we wouldn't have to worry about that doggone steal, stop the steal. If the Electoral College, man for man, we would have all kinds of votes.
All those after-hour votes that came in after all this big swing, that's all. For all the rules that they made just 6 weeks before, some of them 2 weeks before
hey, man,
the election,
Bob,
that had no effect.
No,
because of the COVID.
I mean,
why do you think they're trying so hard to change more of these rules? They had over 232 voting changes for this election, for the last one. Why do you think that, Don? Why did they change it so much?
Because these white boys can't count. They're sick.
Oh, they can't count, right.
They can't count. Don, they can't. If they're going to be questioned about numbers that are on a computer, then that means that they don't want to look at a true count if they in fact had the right computers. I can understand where
computers can be. So you want to keep going where you don't check any ID. Anyone who enters the country can just vote. You want that, right? Like you have to have a vax card with ID and proof of needle injections. To go anywhere, you need your ID for all these things, your driver's license, to drink, to do all the, to own stuff, to get a gun, right? When it comes time to vote, anybody, anywhere, just fill it out. We're not even going to check and see where you came from. Just sign up. That's the new rules, right, that you guys want, your team. Why is that? Why do you think?
Well, is anyone there? I think Suzette might have called in.
I'm here.
Okay,
what the heck was
you guys, I have to be at work at 8
anyone
in the morning, and I think Don and John get into a vortex when they're on the air together. Suzette's been on hold 12 minutes. So I'm just going to be able to summarize
the question, Jane. You can answer. Anyone can talk. I'm not talking. I put it out there.
No,
why
it's not your fault.
I'm
not blaming anybody. Okay, I had to handle some business for 5 minutes. So what? Everybody say hi to Suzette.
Hi, Suzette. Hello, Suzette.
Hi, everybody.
I was
Howard
in the. I'm in my bedroom with the space heater because it's 5 below, and
oh my goodness.
So I just want to tell everybody we started off the show with some Russian-Ukrainian diplomats, the Polish president, the NATO, and everybody else is saying that in the last 30 years, there hasn't been war in Europe since Yugoslavia broke up, and there's a very likely chance that there will be war in Europe now over this Russian-Ukrainian thing. Then John and Don got into an argument about voting rights and if voting is ethical around the United States. And Albert brought up a couple of documentaries on Netflix. And then they were arguing about the clarity of the insurrection on January 6th and who's been arrested and who hasn't and if it's just all bullshit. Feel free to jump in, anybody. I'm ending. You guys can go as long as you want, but I can only stay on the air 20 more minutes.
Hi, Suzette. This is Don.
Hi, yeah, how are you?
Fine. I didn't hear. Well, Jane said that we were talking about some of the technicals of the Voting Rights Act, and we were just talking in general.
No, we weren't. We were just mentioning that Biden was pitching it around the Congress.
Well,
he's trying to get something through.
I know, but that's just general.
Oh, he's trying to ramrod it, too. He's not even asking. He's like, this has got to be done. He's demanding. Yeah.
He's not demanding. He's acknowledging that it's not going to pass. What are you talking about, John?
John's right. The mainstream media said he was making very strong pitches that you're going to do this and you're doing it today.
Oh, fuck.
No, he did not say that. He said...
Yeah, he did. He can't put a gun to Manchin's head. He can't
he
put
said,
a gun to his
he
head
said
or
he
to the other gal, was it Serena or whatever?
Oh, God.
So he has to try to be different. But he said this has to be done. I'm tired of asking.
Look at it. He said that it was dead right now, but with every breath in his body, he was going to make sure that he continued the fight for who is counting the votes. This is not about counting votes. This is about who is entrusted to count votes. If you saw the interview, the speech, then, you know, you'll know what he said.
Oh, yeah. You know, he wants to end the filibuster, and it was used last year. You know how many times it was used last year? 200, and I'll tell you. 232 times. You know how many times the Republicans used the filibuster? Once.
Right.
And now the Democrats want to end it. How come? Because they can't get the voting thing. They can't strong arm it. So they have to, like, let's end the filibuster and let's just lean on these other two people till they pop.
I'm a Nevada Democrat, and I'm more with Manchin and Sinema. In that the filibuster was brought in by Nevada's own Harry Reid for his own purpose, and so now we live with it. And there shouldn't be any problem with having the filibuster. None. So these white boys can kiss my ass, and everything else is just gravy because we have the filibuster, and we don't need to get rid of it.
Agree. Cammy wants to get rid of it. What do you think, though, Suzette?
Well, all the people that are running around the United States basically saying there are 34 suppression voter laws that have been passed by red states, those people are the same people that signed a letter in 2017 and even stated on different networks that they were on CNN or MSNBC, but that they did not want to get rid of the filibuster, that it would be dangerous to do so. And then those same people are turning around and saying, we need to get rid of the filibuster. And President Biden, last week had said, you know, he gave this speech and he's like, do you want to side with of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Or do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis? He says, this is the moment to decide, to defend our election, to defend our democracy. If you do that, you will not be alone. And it's like, okay. Well, we're not in the category or, you know, side that says get rid of it, so I guess we must be on the other side. I don't know. I mean, he's supposed to be the president to bring people together.
nobody knows is that this is a clusterfuck that the white man has bought on because he has no clue what he has no clue what's going on. Hasn't from the start. The first article of the Constitution said that Negro was 3/5 of a man. So that was a big mistake.
You're always bringing up the same arguments.
But the bottom line, I'm trying to make it relevant for now how stupid white people can be, is that they really don't.
Do you think Joe Biden's stupid?
He's one of the stupidest white men of all. But the thing is that he's the president because we had the stupidest white man as the president. So, you know, the worst of two evils.
Donald Trump hung up on NPR this week. He gave the first interview in 6 years to NPR, and he also called Mitch McConnell a loser. But I do want to state a fact that 3/4 of the elected Republicans in the House and Senate still believe that Donald Trump should have won the election. And they haven't backed down.
And they're stupid white people, too. That's what I'm talking about. We got stupid white people everywhere, so we need to have some minority person to come in and save America. You know, we had one, but term limits took them out. And the worst thing in the world that I hear is stupid white woman Hillary might want to come and be a candidate in 2024.
Hey, that's the best you got. But going back to stupidity, Don, how can you account that in Pennsylvania and Michigan, Atlanta, I think it's Atlanta, you have more votes than voters? It makes no sense, Don. The forensics on it make no sense at all.
Well,
you have counties that don't match. And Trump did a thing on January 6th. He was in a speech. He did breakdown. He did breakdown on the
John,
what happens.
John.
No, nothing makes sense here. Like, you know, voting doesn't make sense. The housing market doesn't make sense. In fact, half of the people that buy houses don't even live in the houses they buy because this is the housing market of the greed.
And then you're talking about people who are secretaries of state in those states. They're white people, man.
Oh, that's fine. Well,
got,
white, black, whatever. The point is, the numbers don't.
The point is, you're wrong, John, again. You're wrong.
The point is, you can't say I'm wrong if you haven't done forensics.
I'm going in the bathtub soon.
Right, I'll be with
why are you guys so afraid?
I'll be with
you. It's like you want to analyze everything else, but you don't want to analyze the election. That is so funny. That is following the science.
What do you mean?
I think maybe he doesn't want to analyze it because there's nothing that's going to be done about it.
Well, the thing is, no, is that these white people are able to get the compromise the machines. You can do that. You know, and the bottom line is that these are white people doing this shit. Black people don't have the desire, nor the capability, nor the expertise to do this shit.
Well, you're generalizing your people.
Because white people are bad people when it comes down to greed, just like Albert said. They'll steal from everything. It's steal everything from everybody. That's how they get.
You'd make
money.
A great politician, Don. I could see your base. You'd have like 3 Ku Klux Klan people supporting you, maybe. I don't know. I mean, you're very racist about stuff.
I'm talking about the election possibly was stolen. I'm talking about the fact that just because 38% of all minorities go to jail and 5% of whites go to jail, 22% of whites go to jail, that disparity is okay. I'm talking about the fact that white people home ownership has grown from 68% to 76% in the last 50 years, and minority, especially African-American home ownership, has stayed at 48%.
What would you like us to do for you, Don? What are we supposed to do? For all of us white people,
How do you,
and brown people,
white, you dumbass. John, you're not white. Get that out of your head.
Well, what are we supposed to do for
well,
you, my brother?
Well, here's an interesting fact. You know what I mentioned a while ago? When R. Kelly had sex with all those minors and took advantage of the women, well, 99% of them were black. Like, almost all of them were black minors. And that's
well,
why
wait a second. Don that it's white people that do stuff.
They went on for
30
years because they didn't care
no,
about black women.
No.
They were out team black women's lives
Don,
but
I'm confused.
Geez, I moved.
Are you
from,
saying R.
I
Kelly
moved,
is white?
I moved.
No. R. Kelly had sex with all these black minors, and nothing was done about it for 30 years.
But black people are smart. White people are
they
stupid.
They are. They
yeah.
are. These
so wait a second.
But they were saying how if one of these girls was a white minor, was straight away, like if he had a few white minors, he would have gone to prison right away.
Huh.
I know that for a fact. If any of the if those January 6th insurrectionists were black, half of them would be dead. You know,
no,
that's
not true. You had to look. You have in what is it, Seattle? You had the one dude, Rob Simone, that was leading the CHOP there, and he was in charge of it all as far as leading them. And I believe he is not white.
Well, I'm talking, yeah, no, and the lady was there, too.
And he's walking free.
They both resigned. But I'm talking about Washington, D.C., sweetheart.
I'm talking
about Seattle,
where they took Capitol Hill.
I don't give a fuck about
there,
Seattle.
No. To make it their autonomous zone. And none of those people were arrested.
They actually
took over part of the city, their Capitol Hill part of the city. And
for a couple of months. But
nobody was arrested.
That's not
they
Washington,
just chased them out of there.
They're not going to arrest them. That's Seattle. Seattle. Have you been to Seattle? You can
I don't know.
Anything.
I'm pretty sure I heard. I think I can look it up. I know there was some arrest there. Some people
still,
got arrested.
Well, Rob Simone didn't, and he let it. He
right.
decided he did some movie or
yeah,
whatever. But the point is they've occupied their state capital for months.
Well, you know,
and that would be an insurrection.
I don't know because
right.
most of the leaders of the protest were being followed by the Secret Service. The federal agents were literally picking up protesters right off the street. You know, I mean, go watch the how the federal agents come in a decked out black car with no signs on it. And then just jump out the car and then grab these protesters. And protesters have no idea that these federal agents knew that they were there because they use, you know, all the technologies that even police don't have access to track all their phones and everything and, you know, and get all the information and know exactly what they're doing. And they were the federal agents were grabbing the top leaders of the protesters and picking them off the street. Before they even showed up. I mean,
I can tell you right now, he was never, yeah, it's public record, he was never arrested. And the other people that were picked up in the van or whatever, the Secret Service van, they were let go.
He was never, when a federal agent grabs you and arrests you and takes you away, there's no record. There's no record. I can guarantee if he was arrested, they're not going to put it on record.
Albert,
you'll never know about it because federal agents can arrest you. In fact,
Albert,
by the way, a
Albert,
federal agent can
Albert,
kill somebody
Albert,
and you can't take him to court. You can't
Albert,
take him to court or have him arrested
Albert,
because
Albert,
under the law,
Albert,
if a federal
Albert,
agent kills somebody,
it doesn't matter. They can do whatever they want under the Patriot Act. White, black, brown, purple. They can do whatever they want under the Patriot Act. So it's not right, but that's what they can do.
D.C. is federal. Seattle is state. That's what I'm trying to say. There's a difference there. You're comparing apples to oranges. Suzanne.
When you burn down a federal courthouse, that makes it a federal crime.
It's a federal. You're right. And the post office is a federal building too.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but it's not the capital.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's like you rob a bank, it's a federal offense. You know, it's a felony.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's the point is this. You're calling it an insurrection, and people broke some windows. Some people charged, but a lot of people just walked around. They took selfies. They posed. They were told to leave, and they left. And you're calling it like this violent takeover? Like, no, like were they there for a week? Did they have Pelosi kidnapped and they shot the two or three senators?
Did you see the Capitol Police?
No, they didn't. They left. They left.
The Capitol policemen.
It was all over in 3 to 4 hours.
You didn't see the Capitol policemen getting the door shoved in their face.
Oh, sure. There's some pushing. You go to anything. But, again, there was no buildings.
They didn't burn down buildings.
They didn't smash those offices. You know what an insurrection's like.
They didn't hurt anybody when they burned down the post office. They weren't smashing cops.
You want to compare Portland or Seattle to this? Are you kidding me?
You want to compare Santa Monica? That's what you
Hollywood?
Did.
They torched everything.
You dumbass.
I'm not a dumbass. I know the difference between an insurrection, a riot, and someone just making a disturbance. I have friends that have broken windows. Like domestic situations. That's different than burning
down Guardian,
buildings.
This isn't a domestic situation.
There were 25 Americans were killed during those protests over the summer of 2020.
Right. All over the country, not just in Seattle.
It's city blocks owned for months, owned. Not look, go home and then in a couple hours they leave. No, none of those were like that. The people stayed. They barricaded. They
right.
took over. What are you talking? They owned police stations. They owned it.
There were no other disturbances.
That's not a disturbance. That's a takeover. That's a kidnapping of a city. Downtown, you take over 4 or 5 blocks.
Oh, man.
Right? Finally, the mayor had to say after people got raped and killed, we better kick them out.
The Bundys were able
kidding?
To take over freaking Bundys were able to take over in Oregon and in Nevada whenever they wanted.
Well, let me ask you this, Don. I want to come over with some of my friends tomorrow to your house, okay? You have two choices, okay? Well, my group and then call Albert's group, okay? My group is going to break your front door, walk in there, do a lot of yelling around, take some selfies, and then you're going to call the police, and then after an hour or two, we're going to leave. Just going to leave. Nothing. Now, Albert's going to bring a gang, and they're going to barricade your house. They're going to burn it down. They're going to own it for months. So now you tell me, honestly, swear to God, don't fuck around. You tell me, which one do you want? Listen to me. If I said, I'm coming over right now and let's do it, you know what you'd say. You would say, well, in fact, you'd be calling, the FBI would be picking me up. That's what would happen.
I'll tell you, babe. Okay, I know you're telling about that they're burning down and they're doing all this,
about?
But why do you talk about the KKK and those other white power movements when they come over and they burn down freaking black guys' people's houses and they hang them
when
and
they
do shit like that? You don't talk about those
when
things.
Did,
you guys don't talk
do
about
that?
Those things. Well, I don't got a record of it right now, but I know it happened. I can go look it up later on and tell you next show, but
it happens
a lot more
okay.
than you know.
Find record of it because it's important that if you're
media,
going to talk
look,
about something that
this
you
way. Let me put
can
it this
it
way.
Up.
The mainstream media, you're not going to see it on your favorite mainstream media where you find all this stuff here that you like to talk about.
Well,
if you're going to talk
you,
about
why
something,
why
you need to have something
about,
John, hang on. If you're going to talk about something, Albert, you need to have something to back it up. You can't just throw something out there and say, well, it's just something that wasn't reported. It's like, all right. And so how do I know that it's true if you don't have something to back it up? Local papers would report something like that. There's got to be some some evidence. Otherwise, it's just out of thin air.
So you're saying it's not true white people are gathering up and burning down black people? It never happened. It doesn't.
I don't know. I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth.
I just want something to back it up.
You can't ignore something just because I don't have something to back it up.
You can't ignore. It's like ignoring all the 30 women who were claiming they were sexually abused by R. Kelly, and nobody didn't believe them, you know. And so it's to pile up all these crazy evidence and finally something about it. No one took it serious, you know. I mean, you.
Well, that's because you're innocent until proven guilty, for one thing. And also, as far as anything else goes, you can't just take somebody's word for it, because I could throw something out there, too, and you guys will say, no, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. And I'll say, well, yes, it did. There's video evidence. No, that's not what happened.
It's an independent news report. I literally saw a video of it, okay? If you think I'm making this stuff up, why would I bother making this stuff up?
Don't put words in my mouth. You're getting defensive and you're putting words in my mouth. All I asked you to do was tell me where you got that information.
Right.
That's it.
I didn't say I don't believe you.
I know this stuff is true when I saw it. I mean, I don't have to make
Albert,
shit up.
Albert,
but, you know.
Albert.
I didn't say you did.
I'm just asking for a receipt.
Yeah, she doesn't believe me. Obviously, she doesn't believe me.
Right.
She doesn't think things like that. She doesn't think things like that actually happen.
I didn't say that.
I can tell you.
Why do you think you know what I think better than I do?
I have not.
That's
I can
arrogant.
Tell you, my 60 years running around, I haven't seen a KKK person walking around with white sheets attacking black people. I can tell you. I can't drive through L.A. without – I've been approached by gangs. I see the gangs. I've had shootings down the street many times. Jane can tell you it's like the biggest problem is the black gangs, the Mexican gangs.
If you're looking for the KKK, the old KKK signal, you're not going to find it. And the cartels.
Compared to KKK, you know – just look at the FBI numbers. There's a few thousand of them across the country. It's nothing like the cartels. This is nothing like the gangs.
It's like saying, hey, those guys are from FEMA. They're from FEMA because they're burning down those houses and they're beating up other protesters. They're from FEMA. You're automatically accusing them from FEMA. You know what I mean? That's worse. You know, there's no FEMA logo like on their shirt that says like, hey, I'm from FEMA. You know what I mean? That literally don't wear a FEMA logo, but you want to call them all FEMA, you know, all the Black Lives
Matter
guys.
Well, when did all this stuff start
just
happening?
Just because there's a black guy out there at the protest and he starts a fire doesn't mean he's from the Black Lives, you know, movement, you know. It automatically, it's all, that's the way the mainstream media wants to generalize it. So without any proof.
When did this all start?
And then people like you see it on the news from the mainstream media and then believe it right away.
Uh-huh. Well, when
maybe
did
because
no,
during
George,
those
George
protests
George
and riots, they were chanting Black Lives Matter,
posts,
I think, you know,
the mainstream
that was a good
media
hint.
Post these things like they were true without any evidence, and you guys just believe it right there.
No, that's you. I don't know. There's so much counter-information.
I can produce video that said they were chanting Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. They were, you know, riding in the middle of the streets. The mayor had let them ride in the middle of the streets, graffiti, and their signs and their chants. And so, I mean, it's them that's chanting, the people that are destroying things that are chanting. And so who are they then if they're not saying, you know, that they're Black Lives Matter? Antifa. It wasn't the news that told me that. It was something that was shown on video, captured video by people that were there.
I suggest you start watching some independent media if you want to see other violent besides those Black Lives Matter Antifa. More like the white power organizations and stuff like that. I mean, you know, you can probably see them in the independent media, and your mainstream media, corporate media, you're just not going to see it. And it just doesn't exist for you. Just like because you never heard of it, you never seen it, you never heard of it, because you're not watching any independent media.
Do you know any Proud Boys personally? Do you know any 3%ers? Do you know any Oath Keepers personally? Do you know their circle? Do you know how they communicate? Do you know their group when they show up, what they're wearing, what vehicles they drive? I know them.
I see the 3%ers.
See, that's
logo,
the thing. You're talking what you see
the
on independent media.
On their
you have
jacket.
To know
they
it in person.
On their logos.
You have to know it in person. You're talking out of your ass. Now, some of it's informed ass. Some of it's informed, and I like that. But I'm saying I met them. I know them. They don't deal with the people that you're talking about. They don't. They don't mix with them. So, again, go and meet them. Go to the rallies. Go hang out with them. Join BLM. Join Antifa. March with them and see how they work. See, you see, when you're in a patriot group or a freedom group and you go to meet somewhere and boom, oh, 5 minutes later, here they show up. How did they know? Infiltrators. There's all kinds of – they don't meet just to go and have their own rallies. They go to crash a conservative event, create a riot to get headlines, and the media is right there. How did they show up? How did they know what we're doing, what we're meeting? Because that's all they're tuned into. I'm just saying, try it,
yeah,
check
John.
It out. Because I'm not talking about what I saw on NPR or whatever. I'm talking about I – hang with people who hang with people. And, you know, I don't get that close to it. Yeah.
Okay, so if you were speaking to somebody and that person had thrown something out there, a statement, and that person had asked you to show them where you got that information. If you knew that information was true, you wouldn't get defensive. Would you get defensive and try and turn it around on that person that's trying to learn something from you? Or would you say, yeah, no problem, I'll get that for you next week. I have it in my bookmarks. I just don't have it on me type situation.
Well, you know what happens? Here's what happens. Is you go to you hang out with someone and you eat with them, right? And after 5 minutes, someone walks in. Someone walks in and they go, we don't like the vibe, we're leaving. I'm like, for what? Because he asked the question. Well, what was the question? Well, he said, you know, where are you working? He's like, well, everyone's saying that. Well, yeah, why did they ask you? And pretty soon you go, oh, that person talked to so-and-so, and everyone is paranoid. And like some of the 3%ers and the Proud Boys, you know, they piss off people that are even in the movement. They walk up and they go, get out of my way, you know, you pussy. And it's like, hey, we're all on the same team. It's like, no, not everyone. There's militants within. There's friendly within. Everyone's paranoid.
Well, you know why I asked you,
Because of January 6th, they changed that so that way no one will protest this liberal group. See, you can be radical, pipe bomber, BLMer, not a problem. But they used this insurrection thing that got trumped up. Now no one will say anything against Biden. No one will say anything conservative or anti whatever, because you'll get, we call it domestic terrorist. And
I know
no
I
one,
asked you, right?
Go ahead.
Because that situation is what Albert had done to me when I asked him to tell me where he got that information at. He tried to turn it around. Oh, because you don't believe me. Oh, I see. And like I'm the bad person for wanting to learn something.
Do the Tulsa riots count? Would they
I can't speak. And if I say I can't speak to that, they're going to say, oh, okay, so you don't know, you've ignored that. You haven't read that online. It's like, no.
Well, whatever.
I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it.
I'm just saying, do the Tulsa riots, the largest riot that nobody heard of, qualify to satisfy your inquiry as to what kind of facts was Albert talking about? Because that's a whole city that was burned, a whole half a city.
And I just asked him, when did that happen? And he said, I don't know. I don't have that information on me. And I'm like, okay. And he said, well, then I'll get that for you next week. And I said, okay. And then he said, why? Because you don't believe me? And he went into that. And I'm like, no, I just don't know.
Albert.
So please educate
Who's
me. I'm trying to be open-minded.
Who's that? You don't know Albert. So there's, I mean, not too well. So you've got a lot to learn. But the thing is,
I know, I'm trying.
Well,
you're talking about 1921 thing.
Yes, the 21 thing.
Were you even born? Were any of us here alive? This is like we're talking about.
I'm asking Suzette a question.
Years later.
I'm asking Suzette a question, John.
Yeah.
Thank you. And she says. that she hasn't really answered, does Tulsa qualify?
That's because I've heard of it, but I don't know about it. And I, you know, so I'm,
well,
that's all I can say.
Yeah, between the Emancipation Proclamation and the time of the end of the Reconstruction, 53, approximately 53,000 blacks died. Most of their were homes that were burned. I mean, burning our black homes is almost a normal thing. There wouldn't be riots. There wouldn't be anybody complaining about anything. This would be a panacea. We would have a wonderful country if none of that happened. But it happened all the time. The biggest travesty in America, the biggest travesty is that the people who built America were left out of the riches, and that's African Americans. So,
you're rewriting American history. I understand. Have you ever heard of Nietzsche? There's Lenin. There's Marx. But the man who put Marx's principles and concepts into a working system is Nietzsche, and basically it's a nihilist. And what the nihilist believes is that you destroy everything. Everything's pointless. And here's what the concept is. You got to love this. Is let's destroy society. Let's destroy a healthy, functioning society to the point it will break down family, faith in God, all morality, tradition, structure. We'll destroy it until they'll be screaming for communism or socialism, the national socialism. So this is what you're doing. You're a tool, Don, to destroy American culture.
There is no healthy society. There is no such thing.
See, that's the whole point of it, that nothing's ever been good. That America is terrible country, that was the worst place in the world to be, because you want it to be like, Venezuela or Cuba. The point is, you want to destroy everything American and make me feel so terrible for whatever race I am and divide us.
Who gives a shit about
And that's communist. It's anti-American.
Nobody gives a shit about your race because it's weak. So the bottom line is that
care about someone, then how can I care about you?
But this, the
if you disrespect
you
me as a human
about,
being, how can you expect me to respect you? If you're going to crap all over me, how am I supposed to say, oh, thank you? Thank you. Yes, Don. You know what? Because guess what? I pay taxes to pay for your crap.
But
for the
70%
single black mom.
And you're sending
you could
your,
say thank
your,
you. You could say thank me.
Yeah, thank you. You're
there you go.
Our,
that's a start.
You're sending our children over to some place to get killed, and I'm supposed to thank you.
No, right? I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Are you kidding? I'm a taxpayer.
But you also support the military. The military is only fighting for the pharmaceutical military industrial complex. They're not fighting.
Trump got us out of wars. We were in peace. Actually, he got us out.
There were some
Biden's a warmonger.
Oh my God! There were some good things that Trump did. I've always told you that Trump learned everything he knows from me. He learned everything he knows from me. Bottom line
can we rename the show "I Hate Whitey" with Don, our host? Can we rename the show "I Hate Whitey"? How about that?
I didn't say I hated Whitey. I just said they were.
Yeah, you do. You know, it's your whole agenda. You never come on with the agenda like, hey, we're all brothers and sisters. Let's work together. We got some problems. It's all the white man is bad. The white man's evil. And white black people are great. And we need more black people.
The same thing as what you said about you. I never heard you say, like, oh, some people in the Black Lives Matter are good people. Or say some people in the NFT is good people. It's always been they're all bad people, right? They're all bad people. Oh, they're terrible. They're all bad people.
Actually, the movement has been used as a problem
amongst the rapists and the criminals coming from, wherever, crossing the borders illegally. That wasn't good enough. Some people. He just kind of shoots some people. So if we were to say that, I don't think that that would be acceptable either.
How many times have I said black fetuses matter? Remember that? Black fetuses matter. I always say that. How come? Because they don't know what to do with that. Because it's true, black fetuses matter, but they are pro-aborting black babies. So they're kind of stuck on that. And I say that on the show all the time. I guess you don't listen to the show that much.
So they don't have to grow up in a society like we've got. This is a horrible – I mean, do you know how many people I talk – I talk to people all the time. That's what I do. And I talk to them all the time. And one of the big predations of the millennium is our millennials is how their children are going to grow up. I've got a daughter who wouldn't have children. She won't have children because she says that the future is so scary that she wouldn't want to have to raise them. I've spoken with so many of those youngsters who would never have children simply because of the circumstances. So if they're killing their children, their own children, there's a reason for it. If we're rioting, minorities are rioting in the streets, there's a reason for it. If we're killing up entire cities, people killing their own people, there's a reason for it. And
what you ought to do is, the thing is, what you shouldn't be having her march or being upset about American culture. What you should have her upset about is the satanic, Luciferian, devil-worshipping people that run this planet. And they want to get rid of America.
Exactly.
We're actually one of the few places they
can't totally rule.
You know,
I want to know
government.
What these kids have not visited other countries to know how good they have it here. What they're complaining about and what they're whining about, they have no clue. That it's nothing in the grand scheme of things. I mean, visit any other country besides this one.
That's why
Don, so does your daughter have electricity, running water?
That shouldn't be said that nobody's allowed to complain and nobody's allowed to ask
the
question.
Well, that's why he said it's stupid to think that way.
To ask why. Why? Why does this happen? Why is this happening? Why?
That's what I said.
Everybody should be allowed.
Why is this? Why are we even having this discussion? Why are our politicians so fragmented? You know, I don't even understand why this crap is going on. We should be on a common good. The biggest travesty in United States history is the fact that the people who built this place are not able to get jobs, are not able to have housing, are not able to get nutritional food. That should
because
be
we
mandatory.
Have a corrupt elite group that's greedy as hell, and it's only making things worse. And that's politicians and corporations, corporate capitalism. We have corrupt politicians, lobbyists. It's all about money, greed, and power, and it's leaving everybody
right.
at the bottom.
And those people aren't black. That's all I'm saying.
There's a Black Caucus. Nine members are members of the card-carrying members of the Socialist Communist Party, Democratic Socialist Party.
Bottom line is that they're not stealing anything. They're not taking advantage.
Oh, they are.
Everything.
They're stealing every
they're
right we have.
Hard.
Yeah, I don't even care about any of this stuff. Tell you the truth, as long as I can praise God, worship God freely, have freedom of speech. Defend myself and my property. And you know what? That's going away. Your party's taking that away piece by piece.
That's because
you're supporting that, Don. You support the Satan.
You're not repaying your debt.
I have to tell you.
That's because those white men are thieves and they're not repaying their debts with reparations.
No. You're supporting it too, Don. All the woke people and Oprah and all those entertainers.
I was woke when I was born. You guys don't get it. You guys don't have the faintest clue what's going on. And that's sad.
The lobbyists grease the politicians' hands, and the lobbyists belong to the corporations, and the corporations sell the products that we buy, and so we end up supporting the corporations that lobby the politicians and grease their hands. So
I always tell everybody to boycott everything. Go minimalist. And then John always says, what, are we supposed to give up everything and go Amish? And I keep saying, yeah. So I don't know what the fuck y'all are talking about.
Wait a second. Do you use electricity, Don?
He uses all those things. Yeah, he's saying stop
sure
it so this way it will
control
and
you're on your
it will
phone.
Stop these guys.
You're on your phone, Don, and all you do, did you drive a car? Did your kids drive a car? Don, you're so full of it. Come on. You
because
live in it.
Him
you
doing
love
it isn't going to really make a difference,
you
know, John. If he does it on himself, it's not going to make a difference. It won't make a difference if he does it on his own. He's saying if we have masses do that, we can take back the power as far as, all right, you guys, knock it off up there as far as trying to control our country. It belongs to we, the people. To go without for a while, then that we're going to go without, which that means you're going to go without it too, Mr. Corporation.
That's fine.
Go from there.
That's fine.
Right?
That's
I mean,
fine.
Is that what you're saying?
That's fine with me. I know how to camp. I know how to be a survivalist. I know how to live
well,
on cars.
I was just trying to understand what you were saying to make sure I got it right. So, yeah, cool.
I wish Don would go to his party and have them stop being so communist. Can you stop them from being so communist, please?
I can. All I have to do is talk to people. I know people everywhere. Democrats, Republicans, it doesn't matter. And if I have an agenda, I get my agenda taken care of. I'm a lobbyist, and I'm a citizen lobbyist, so I have no encumbrances. I do my thing myself, whatever I want. And I talk. I'm fighting Facebook and Apple and Google and Microsoft all the time for the internet and privacy and content, things like that. Not so much content, but privacy. And I fight them all the time. All the time. Several months of the year, each year, I spent researching how to make sure that those internet agencies, corporations are doing right. I don't give a shit who you are. I've met fucking.
Well, actually,
Biden
you do. You
times.
Care if they're black or white. So we're talking about. You do care
no,
who
I
we are.
I
oh, he's white.
Shit.
He's bad.
I
he's black. Oh, he's okay. He can rape children. It's okay.
I don't give a shit. I look for fairness. There's black people that fuck up too.
No, there's black people I hate, like Barack Obama, and especially R. Kelly. He's become my new most hated black person ever. R. Kelly.
R. Kelly, why? Because
fuck R. Kelly.
You
can burn
you
the hell.
Getting it, Albert. R. Kelly is one out of 75,472,262 men who do that shit.
Yeah, but just because I support
I do not look at movies.
The main movement of Black Lives Matter.
I do not listen to.
And I support.
I do not listen to
like,
movies. Albert,
I support black people for better lives and stuff like that. Like I support a lot of these black people are suffering most, and like you know, three out of four black people eventually end up in jail. You know, I mean, it's really terrible on black people in America. Now, you know, and I support all those movements and whatnot. You know, but that doesn't mean I support all black people. Like I said, like the guy like R. Kelly, that basically raped a lot of minors. He's a piece of shit. Like, I hate the guts out here. He's a piece of shit. You know what I mean? But I support the movement.
Well, you got people like Prince Andrew and the Congressman Gates and all them people, man. There's Jim Jordan. They're all pedophiles. You know, or have supported pedophilia.
You guys, I have
life.
To cut the show off in 10 minutes.
All right, you got all this stuff happening, and you guys look at movies and listen to music and all that shit, and all of the people that do it. And so the only thing is to boycott movies and TV and music. They all do it. So I don't know why you're crying about stuff that happens all the time. I moved from Los Angeles. And John
most of it. I would say most of them do it, but not everyone. I would say most of them.
I moved from Los Angeles to get away from that shit. I know it firsthand. You people
Need to ban. They need to ban, like, not allow minors to go, to these locations without adults. Like, these minors go there by themselves.
The adults.
And then they're surrounded by a famous superstar.
Albert.
And they don't know what to do. And they
Albert.
Get forced into
Albert.
Their mansion and get
Albert.
Fucked. They,
Albert.
They fucked all these
Albert.
Minors in the mansion.
Albert, these parents bring their minors there to R. Kelly and tell them, take care of my girl. That's what happens all the time. Parents drop their – I've heard of parents pretty much dropping their kids off on Hollywood and Vine at 13 and saying, don't come home until you make some money and make it big. That's how they
– and where else is it big? It's at the border.
Actually, I just watched the documentary.
They do it at the border.
The Savages, the family
and,
of the
and
Savages.
And who's allowing that?
They didn't drop their parents, by the way. I mean, their parents didn't drop their kids like that, by the way.
Sure,
they were tricked.
Albert.
They were tricked and manipulated.
Albert.
And R. Kelly said that he'll have a private bodyguard, a female, take care of her while she stays over there at the mansion, because she's going to teach her how to sing and, you know, try to make her record label supposedly and stuff like that, and, you know, make all these promises.
Supposedly the independent private security that R. Kelly hired. That happens all the time. Quit crying too. You and John have a cry fest.
But who will not visit the border? Who's black? Who could really clamp down and knock
because
it from 200,000 to maybe 5,000 people a month?
When
we
talk about the border, there were a lot of missing minors. There were a lot of missing children.
Over.
From the borders, that the under
she
the federal
wants,
agent,
the
federal
support,
was supposed
wants,
to protect all these kids,
vote.
And they all disappeared. Over 300 kids disappeared.
She wants the border open.
300 kids that they crossed the border disappeared, and nobody talks about that.
Right.
Well, it's more than
no,
that.
There's more
than
that.
That because it's happened over multiple administrations.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
know, Republican and Democrat. All these kids keep coming over. Where do they go? They keep saying, well, they give them to their guardian or a relative. And it's like, those when kids were coming over on those trains, that many kids, it's like, really? You found that many guardians and there's that many relatives? It's like, no, something's going on. And it's like, you know, whether it was Bush, Clinton, you know, Obama, Trump, so those kids are disappearing. It's like, where the hell are they going? It's a hell of a lot of kids. I mean, if we had places
right.
for kids to go, that many places, then we wouldn't have that many kids in foster care. So
exactly.
Because they're
going
into
slavery.
And there
are a lot of pedophiles, like
they're,
I said, like Jeffrey Epstein.
Trafficking and slavery.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Yep. Exactly.
And all these pedophiles, like Jeffrey Epstein, well, he's already dead, you know.
So we can all agree that something's going on, and we kind of know what's going on as far as where the kids are going to the sex trafficking and stuff. And we all agree that it's bad, right?
Well,
let's just
put that Michael Jordan and R. Kelly are just the scratch of the surface of the rich millionaires, billionaires, pedophiles. Just the scratch of the surface.
Sure. But, I mean, I'm just saying as far as we all agree that it's disgusting and that something is definitely up and nobody's doing anything about it.
That it's true.
So,
I agree.
Okay. Cool. All right. I want to end on that note because Jane said we were going to be the show is going to be ending soon. So for me, thank you, gentlemen, for the discussion, conversation, and I'm so glad we could agree on a not a happy note, but at least a substantial note. And thank you for letting me on the show.
Substantial note. Okay.
Well, it's substantial. It's significant.
Well, I mean, it's important that it's heard. I mean, it's horrible, it's terrible, but it's important that people talk about it and it's heard.
Yes.
You know, people got to know about it, you know?
I agree.
But
yes.
That's the past. But that's the past. My thing is that everybody's missing the future. The future is here. It's coming fast. And
food
now,
shortages, people.
So food shortages. to climate change, to the fact that there is going to be more of a minority presence in America in 2045, by 2043 to 2045, then there will be white people.
Once again, thank you, gentlemen, for the conversation. We'll talk to you next time, and have a great week and weekend. Take care.
You bet. Okay. Thank you, Suzette. But it's going to be 2045, we're going to see a change, and there has to be a coalition of whites who show everyone else how this country works, or else there's going to be civil war. That's more or less my conclusion.
Well, sounds like the Antichrist.
Yeah, but I don't know, civil war, because, I mean, most of the white guys are the ones that own all the guns. Yeah.
That doesn't matter. You can still, you see the indigenous, the Native Americans, they didn't give a shit. They still would die, die on their feet than live on their knees.
Yeah, and that's thing. And by the way, that's thanks to the NRA. The NRA is the NRA is racist. By the way, they're fucking racist. It's a racist organization. It was made. It was actually produced at the same year that the KKK came out.
Okay. Well, do you have a conclusion, Albert?
No. I mean, I just want to remind everybody. You know, if you got Netflix. Feel free to, you know, watch.
What did I say,
episodes.
Albert, what did I say about pedophilia? You don't look at TV ever again.
Right.
No TV, no movies, no nothing. Because they're built.
Well, I just think that the voices of these women should be heard. And I think, you know, to understand what's going on, it is important to hear the voices of the women so you can get a better understanding on what's happening, how they're getting all the women and how they're controlling them, you know. And it's important to hear the voices of the women.
Right. And these women, their voices will be heard when it's on the news and they're saying that they're either guilty, not guilty, or they're owed X amount of dollars.
Right. Absolutely. So just a quick reminder, you know, it's a great documentary. It's called Surviving R. Kelly. Watch it on Netflix, you know, season one and season two. So, you know, check it out. Just watch the first episode at least. You know, if you don't like it, then don't watch the second, you know. Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Wide Open with Jesse Smollett?
Probably not.
Because it doesn't exist. But it's crap, Albert. That's old news. Get on the new stuff, please. Anyway, you know, that's old.
Oh, yeah,
news.
another great African-American role model, Jesse Smollett. Wonderful.
I know. That, you know, you know, that's why the movie's named Wide Open with Jesse Smollett, all the people, all the men who he's been through, or who have been through him. But no, this is old news, Albert. All right, go ahead, John.
Well, it's been an enlightening discussion. And I hope all dark clouds will part to the light, and you'll be illuminated by the Illuminati. How about that?
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very dark wish.
I know.
Correct,
isn't
right.
It?
That's one of your devil dark wishes.
Oh, yes. Well, it's only going to get darker, but as you know, the Luciferians, they believe Satan is the highest angel. They think he's the good guy. They want to be like it. So this is the order of the world. And I mean, people, you may not believe it. I may not believe it. They believe it. That's
the
thing
new
about
world
it.
Order. I remember the New World Order used to be repeated with George Bush and all the other guys.
In fact, I was just, you know, you go to the corner, let's see, there was a movie coming out, The Witcher. The Witcher, it's a guy witch. You know, okay, great. So got
but
The Witcher.
Movie. Oh, I know season one, season two, The Witcher. It's a video game,
too. I'll have to do some research on it. But the other was Sing 2. Like, you know, there's the movie Sing. It's kind of like animated musical thing. And Sing 2, and I'm looking at the sign. It's like a street sign. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's a kid thing. And it's presented by the production company is Illuminance or something like that. It's like, don't say Illuminati, just say Illuminance. It's like, wow, that's catchy. I mean, when you see it, you go, yeah, hey, fun and games, kids, and, you know, Illuminance. It's like, yeah, it's illuminating. But once you know the language and the stuff, the trans thing, it just keeps going. I was watching some of the Matrix stuff today. With trans and what they're doing, and like with the kids, they're actually doing this with the laws that they're pushing right now. That the kids can have the gender. Yeah, the thing is, it's not gender switching; it's mutilation. You don't change the DNA. So if you whack body parts off, it doesn't make you a boy or a girl. To do that, you have to go into the DNA and change, you know, your whole chromosomes and everything. They're not doing that. So it's a misspeak to say, oh, it's a transgender surgery. No, you're not transforming them. You're mutilating them. You're castrating. It's a very interesting thing. I'm doing a little more research on it.
Well, I mean, I used to think the Illuminati was all a bunch of horseshit and stuff like that. But when I started researching, like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and whatnot, and like this, it's like they're the most richest and powerful people in the world, there's no bad news anything. They've never been taken to court, nothing, like just nothing about it. Like any time there was a YouTube video or anything, it would just be deleted or just be removed. And, you know, and when I did find a new page to talk about it, it was removed later on. Like it's just like somehow there was some kind of filtering that just didn't allow, you know, nobody was allowed to speak about them in a very in-depth, very research, heavily research in-depth. There is no heavily research in-depth report about them. Like, it quickly gets removed, if there is. It's just crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, they're so powerful. You can't even talk shit about them on the internet because they control it. They control the internet.
They control the media. And then you look at, say, simple things. They pop up here and there. Like about 2 months ago, one of the Hiltons, I think it's Nikki, I believe, she married a Rothschild. And you go, okay, that's a little fishy. But here's what makes it super fishy is the minister officiating was Nancy Pelosi. I guess she's got her minister's license, so she wed them without masks at a big ceremony in public up in San Francisco. So, I mean, this goes so goofy. You know, a Rothschild with the rich, you know, a Hilton hotel chain officiated by the third in line to the presidency, you know, president, vice president, and then Speaker of the House. And who's her nephew? Of course, is Gavin Newsom. Who do they want, you think, to run for president next go around? Probably Newsom, with Getty money behind him and all that entails. Just the power structure is so wicked. It just stinks. And she's the one calling the shots. Yeah. So I mean, this is why I don't understand where Don is so in the wheelhouse of what these people do, whether he disagrees with it or not, he's in it. And they are the people that control the world. I mean, they're
what the fuck?
The power is behind it.
I don't know shit about, I don't give a shit about Hilton, Rothschild, Rockefeller, little dick white men. I don't give a fuck about none of them. What are you talking about?
Well, you're in the party. That's what I'm talking
about. Yeah, but either there are people like that in either party. It's not this is not that's not a party specific. Marriage is not party specific. Heck, I was,
well, you're promoting a team that is at the forefront. They lead. I mean, you got to admit they're leading the way. They're the one who's totally pushing this stuff.
I can't admit nothing, man. I don't know who's leading. I don't take a tally of who's red and who's blue.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Okay.
Especially when
go
you have
from
to
this
find
angle,
out
from this angle.
Trump.
Okay. If you say they're all the same, then how come half of Trump's policies are counter? And why did they get rid of it? If it's all the same, and the results of what they're doing is different than what he's doing. I mean, you just look at in the last year, gas has gone up double.
Oh, man.
It's doubled.
It's the
energy stuff got 30%. This is crazy, and they're shutting down all our energy stuff. Go ahead.
And that's good for our refiners. It's good for the oil stock prices. That's good for Republicans.
It's not good for people.
No, they don't give a shit about people. It's good for the oil barons.
Well, you're not making sense because Trump had the opposite policy. It was good for the people. When I pay $2.50 for gas instead of $4.99, it's good for me. So you're speaking out of both ends. You know, it's good for greedy Republicans. It's like, wait a second,
cost?
Trump was the Republican.
My brother,
so